Welcome to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Tosfos Shiur. Don't forget to click on the Daf option to see today's Tosfos marked using the popular Gemara Markings system, similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you are not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option.
The Tosfos that we will start with is the second Tosfos on the page. We covered in our previous shir the first Tosfos. So the Tosfos says, "Hakuri eshma v'eino yodeh lehechon to chozer l'rosh." This was in our Gemara. One was saying the Kriya Shema and he doesn't know where he made a mistake. Well, if that be the case, he has to go back to the beginning. Pirush mitam she'eino yodeh mehechon to. The reason he goes back to the beginning is simply because he doesn't know where he made his mistake. Avolim hoyodeh mehechon to. If a person knows exactly where he made the mistake, shadileg teva, he may have skipped a word, a pasuk, or an entire phrase. Einu tzorach lachzor, he doesn't have to go back. Elo me'oisa pasuk v'eilech, all he has to do is go back to that particular verse that he made the mistake in. V'chein b'halel u'megillah, and similarly with regard to a mistake in halel or in the megillah. The next Tosfos, Maisa Baram Gamliel, She'enosa Isha, V'kora Kriyashma Balaila Rishona. The Mishnah, after teaching us that a choson is exempt from Kriyashma, the Mishnah brought an incident involving Baram Gamliel that married and recited the Kriyashma. So Tosfos says, Lav Maisa Listorhu. This is not an example of a Maisa that contradicts. It's interesting to note that in the Gemara we learned today, we saw an example of that being raised as a question in a different context. But that was in the context later on regarding the issue of calling servants by the term Abba. However, in this case, the story of Baram Gamliel saying the Kriya Shema on the night he married a woman is not an example of this form of Maisa Listor, a Maisa brought to contradict the teaching that immediately preceded it. The Komash Malon, the purpose of bringing in this story with Baram Gamliel, is Im Godol Hu Uboteach Bi'atzmo Shiyuchal Le'Eskaveng. If a person is a great individual and he is confident that he could have the proper concentration and intent and kavona, the roi litol es hashem, and he feels he is fit to recite the Kriya Shema, so harashus biyado, he is entitled to do so. So that the purpose of teaching the story of Baram Gamliel was simply to offer an additional aspect to the din of Kriya Shema with regard to a chosan. And then just to review, in general, a chosan is exempt. However, if a person is a great individual on a lofty spiritual plane, he is entitled to say it. The next tosis, Lefi She'en Daito Miyusheva Salav. This was taught in the Gemara with regard to someone saying the Kriya Shema specifically the Bala Bayis cannot say the Kriya Shema, or he cannot daven, he can't say the Shmon Esrei in any kind of tree. The source had said toward the end of the narrow lines of the Gemara that workers are entitled to Mispalin Barosh HaZayis Rosh HaTe'ina, and on the first wide line of the Gemara it was mentioned the Bala Bayis, whether it be a te'eno, a zayas, or any other tree, they must descend. They cannot say it in the tree. So the Gemara asks here, and after the source had given the reason, because the recitation of Shmona Esrei in the tree will result in lack of concentration, and that's what the Dibur Masos is, the Fishein Daitu Mishavasalov, he doesn't have the ability to concentrate. V'imtoimar, you might ask, tepuk le mishum damrin leil, why not learn out the prohibition of balabayas in the tree, based on that which we've learned earlier in the Masechta, lo yamod odom b'mokom gavoh v'yispalel. It was a separate consideration that it's not proper for a person to daven when he's standing on a high location. And being in a tree is certainly an example of a high location. So the Gemara answers, V'yesh lomar, d'hosam mayri algabi kisei oisafsal. The prohibition of davening on a high location that was mentioned earlier in the Masechta, that's a reference to someone standing on a chair or on a bench. Avol bi'ilon she'olo shom lasos v'lachto. But in the case of a tree where the person went up there for another reason, he went up there to do his work. So his remaining there, as far as high place is concerned, havi kamo aliyah, that's no different than going up to a second story of a building. And from this you see that the warning against being in a high place is reference to someone standing on specifically a chair or a bench for the purpose of saying Shmon Esrei, and I was going up to a raised or high location for Shmon Esrei recitation. That's what's meant by Lo Yamod Odom B'mokom Gavoh V'yispalel. In our Gemara, we're not talking about someone who went up to the high place for the recitation of Kriyat Shema. He went for Shmon Esrei. He went up to the high place, namely the tree, for working, for another reason. And therefore, as far as the Isser of Mokum Kvoa, that doesn't apply here. But nevertheless, there still is a problem of Daito being Eino Miusheves Olav. He can't concentrate. The Gemara, as we turn to the next Tosis Hobbe Perek Rishon, we mentioned this during our Gemara Shir, where the Gemara was resolving, is there a need to have Kavona for Kriya Shema or not? So the Gemara answered, it depends if it's Perek Rishon or Perek Sheni. So in case of Perek Rishon, there the Gemara says, there you would have to explain B'teilin Mimulachtan V'korin. So on this point, Tosfos says, Hoba Perek Rishon Lav Dafka Nokat Perek Rishon. When the Gemara says the first paragraph, it doesn't mean specifically the need for concentration for the entire first paragraph. Why not? The Hainu Alibo de Rova. Our Gemara discussion here is brought to you by Rava. Rava is offering the responses. For Rava Amar Liel, Pasuk Rishon Levad. Rava earlier has said that only the first Pasuk requires intent and concentration. V'hachi Hilchasan, thusly, is the law as well. So that since in our Gemara it's really Rava that's speaking, when he said, Ha v'perek Rishon, doesn't mean the need for concentration for Perek Rishon, but rather Pasuk Rishon, just the first verse and not the entire first paragraph. The next Tosis, Afilu Kol Adam Nami, in trying to resolve the two sources that we saw in the Gemara, do workers say a full Shmon Esrei, or do they say an abbreviated Shmon Esrei? So Rav Sheshes said, one is according to Amulio, there who requires full Shmon Esrei, and the other is according to Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara asked, well, if the abbreviated Shmon Esrei is authored by, if that source which speaks about workers saying an abbreviated Shmon Esrei is authored by Rabbi Yeshua, why does Rabbi Yeshua have to speak about workers, even anybody? Because that's Rabbi Yeshua's shita with regard to Kriya Shema recitation on a daily basis. With regard to Shmon Esrei recitation on a daily basis, is the abbreviated Shmon Esrei is all that needs to be said. And hence, there would be no need to emphasize workers. And so, Tosis is quoting the Gemara, Fibu Kol Adam Nami, even anyone. So, why would Rabbi Yeshua be interested in emphasizing workers? In Tomar, Ha Shar Kol Adam Rishus, Upoelim Chova, even according to Rabbi Yeshua, there still is benefit in emphasizing workers, because workers are different than rank and file. With regard to Kol Adam, they have the option of saying the abbreviated Shmon Esrei. When it comes to the workers, they are obligated to say the abbreviated Shmon Esrei. So that one could one could still use this distinction. The Gemara said, Ha Rav Gamliel, Ha Rav Yeshua. The source that says, Me'ein Shemar Esrei, as all workers have to say, is according to Rav Yeshua. And still there is a significance in identifying or isolating workers, because workers have an obligation to say the abbreviated Shemar Esrei, as opposed to a complete Shemar Esrei. V'yesh Loimar. So Tosfos answers that the reason that it wasn't sufficient to simply say Ha Rebbe Yeshua, the pshita lay, it's too obvious. Kevon shiyocho loimar me'ein Shemar Esrei, since you have the option of saying Shemar Esrei, ein ze shum chidush im hapoyolim oimrim afilu lechatchila. It then becomes of no novel. No chidush means it is nothing novel in this, that by telling us that workers are expected to say the abbreviated Shemar Esrei, the Havinenu. And therefore the Gemara looks for another reason, another teretz to resolve these sources instead of just setting it up like Rabbi Yeshua. As Tosfos says, setting it up like Rabbi Yeshua and then telling us that it's limited, or that the Me'ein Shemar Esrei has something to do with workers, that's not true. It would apply to anyone just as well. The next Tosfos, it's printed here on Amud Aleph, but it's really relevant to the Gemara on Amud Beis. The Chosein Beruchas Haaretz, we saw that the workers say a type of abbreviated Shemar Esrei where the second and third brachas are fused into one, and he ends off saying the Birchas Haoretz, Al Haoretz, the Al HaMazon. Afagav Dimidoraisohem, Tosfos is pointing out, even though each one of the first three brachas of the Birchas HaMazon are Torah obligated, they're Doraisa, Yesh, so how can you not say three first brachas? We're in effect saying only two brachas, where you would have ordinarily said three. So even though the three brachas are doraisa, yesh koyach biat chachamim lakor dover min haTorah, the sages have the power to uproot something from the Torah. Hoyol utrudin b'meleches balabayas, since these people, these are workers that are preoccupied with working for for an owner. We continue with Amud Beis. I hachi mai irya basula. In our Gemara, we're in the middle of a give and take section. And the Gemara asks, well, if it's a ptur because of mitzvah, so why does the ptur extend, or is it limited to someone who marries a basula and not one who marries an almona? When, after all, marrying an almona is also a mitzvah. So Tosfos says, "I amrus bishul mo detaimo mishum tirda." If you were to explain that the exemption of kriyashma for one who's marrying a basula is because of mental preoccupation, tirda, then shapir, that would have been smooth. And then we see the distinction clearly. That by basula is there tirda, and by almona there's no tirda. But once the Gemara said that the exemption is because of mitzvah, because of the mitzvah of marrying, so then almona nami, why is it limited to the marriage of a basula when there's a mitzvah to marry an almona just as well? And therefore, that's what motivates the Gemara to ask the question that it does. Why does the source emphasize the Sula if the whole Ptur is a Ptur of mitzvah? Istinis ani. This Tosfos is commenting on that which we saw in the Mishnah, where Rav Gamliel bathed on the night following the death of his wife. And he justified it by saying that he was an istinis. The ika sar im lohoya roches, and there would be pain if he wouldn't have bathed. the eino osu lichus me'evlo, the whole prohibition of washing when one is in a mourning period, elo mishum tanug, it's because of enjoyment. V'gam lochuf roshoi I is le irbuvio bereish yishori. Likewise, with regard to the shampooing of one's head, lochuf roshos, washing out of one's hair, if a person has irbuvio bereish, he has a problem, without translating it literally, but he has a problem with his hair or his scalp, shori, it's allowed to be done. It's allowed for one to lochuf reshe afilu toch shiva, even within the first week of the mourning period. V'chein hiter Rabbeinu Shmuel lioledes avelo. Likewise, Rabbeinu Shmuel allowed a woman who just gave birth, but unfortunately she was also in a state of mourning. She was a yoledes, of just newly a woman who just gave birth, and she's also an avela, and he allowed Lirchoitz Toich Shiva. He allowed her to bathe during the first 7 mourning days. The Lirchoitz Nami V'Tishabov, and he allowed, Rabbeinu Shmuel allowed this woman to bathe on Tishabov, which is well known as a day forbidden in bathing. All of this is under the context of such bathing is because of hygienic purposes. A woman who recently gave birth, there are a lot of fluids that she discharges, and she needs to maintain a decent standard of hygiene. V'chein mashmanam meseches yuma. Likewise, this would appear to be supported from what it says in Yuma, mi sheyeshlo chatotin baroshoi, someone who has scabs in his head, on his scalp, soch kedako biyomei kivurim v'enu choshesh. He's allowed to apply oils, to smear on oils in a regular way, even though it's Yom Kippur, and he doesn't have to worry. Afagav desicho kishtiyo biyomei kivurim, even though we treat oil smearing as if one drinks, and it's obvious that drinking is forbidden on Yom Kippur. Nevertheless, if someone has chatotin barosha, scabs on his scalp, and the oil application will help him, he is allowed to do that oil application even on Yom Kippur. V'chein mashma b'yushalmi ovel aser b'ruchitza. And likewise, from Yushalmi, we support what we are teaching, where it says an ovel is forbidden to bathe, hodo detema b'ruchitza shaltanu. That which the ovel is prohibited from in bathing is when it comes to bathing for pleasure. If the bathing is not to achieve pleasure, muter, it is allowed. It is allowed for the ovel. The itmar mishesh lechatotin bereshe, and here is a fragmented quote of that which is taught, that one who has scabs in his head would be allowed to bathe. And when we say allowed to bathe, obviously under circumstances that would be also for someone who doesn't have chatotin bereshe, like on Yom Kippur or on Tisha B'Av or on during Avelus Lo'alein. Aninus Lailo Derabonan. This was brought in to explain how Rabban Gamliel bathed that first night. So the Gemara had explained that the first night after the death of a close relative has a rabbinic status known as aninus. The Tosis, he opens up with a question that lasts a number of lines, as our long question indicator would say. V'im tomar, v'harei oinein nami eino nohig elo b'maiser. The concept of an onain, is someone who just experienced the loss of a relative that very same day, that concept with its restrictions is found in the Torah only with regard to Meiser. The Pasuk says with regard to Meiser Sheni, it says, Lo ochalti b'oini mimenu. I didn't eat the Meiser Sheni tithe when I was in a state of aninus. That's what every person has to declare within the context of the vidui maisers. Avol, the inyan rechitza de avelus, the Rabbanan who. However, with regard to bathing while in a state of mourning, that is rabbinic even with regard to an onane. The imkain, being that bathing is itself only a rabbinic prohibition, imkain, the oilom emoloch, daninus lailo, the oiraisa havi, gabi meiser. I could then say what the Gemara did not say, and that is that anilus lailo, that the obligation to observe mourning on the night after the demise of the close relative, that is the oraisa with regard to meiser. Yet in our Gemara, it simply said anilus lailo derabonan. Why do you say that? Anilus lailo with regard to meiser might very well be d'oraisa, that the Torah expects one to restrain from eating meiser sheni even the night following the death of the close relative. So, just to repeat once again, why does the Gemara say that in explaining Rav Gamliel that aninus lailo is the rabbanon, when it might very well be in the context of meiser, it might be d'oraisa? V'yesh lomar. So Tosis answers. The Isa, the Havi Doraisa Gabi Meiser, if it were so that the night period following the day of death was a Torah obligation with regard to Meiser, Gabi Sha'ar Dvorim Derabonim Nami Havi Lon Lemigzar, with regard to other things which are in fact rabbinic, the rabbis nevertheless would have imposed a prohibition. The Chol D'Tikun Rabbanan, whenever the rabbis formulate their rules, Ka'in D'Raisa Tikun, they formulated patterning them after D'Raisa things, so that if there was any chance of the nighttime having any aspect of D'Raisa prohibition to it, even if it's limited to Meiser, the Rabbanan, in formulating their rules concerning Aninus Laila, would have imposed a restriction and forbidden Rechitza even for the Istinus. But since the entire institution of Aninus Laila, including Meiser, is strictly Durabonon, therefore there's no Torah element to the Aninus Laila, therefore when it comes to someone who's an Istinus, the Rabbanon relaxed the law. Ein oindim aleihem b'shura. It was mentioned that in the context of a slave or bondmaid that became a mourner, so the public should not stand in comforting them in the row fashion which is characteristic of general post-funeral comforting exercises. So why should one not stand in the in front of avodah mishvachas in a shura? Because if we were to do that, people would think that those mourners, the Eved and Shifar, are kosher Jews. Kosher Jews, when we speak about that in terms of heredity, they are family lineage. And Vilma Osi Lasuki Liuchsin. Later, when I see those people, I will think that they are Miyuchas, they have a proper family lineage, and they can be married by other Jews, which is certainly not the case, being that in fact they are avodim. So not to create a confusion regarding a family lineage, one should not practice shura in the case of avodim and shvachas. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.